Good evening, class. We're going to pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you glory, Lord God. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the finished work. Father, we thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears, that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Tonight, we're going to start in the lesson that says the funnel from heaven. We're going to start in that aspect. And we're going to go a little bit further into the fivefold ministry gifts. Talking about the culture of honor, the first thing we have to understand that the culture of honor is set up to follow God's government. That's what it's not a world system government, but it's God's government that we are establishing here. As we know, we went over in Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll start there. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 9. And we'll read it. Some of the scriptures we'll hear throughout the semester. In fact, both semesters, because it's building on what we're establishing here, which is apostolic government, God's government, what he won't establish in the earth realm. So over in Isaiah chapter 9, looking at verse 6, by way of review. And looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. And the zeal of the Lord shall perform this." The zeal of the Lord, that's the part I want you to see. God said, "I'm the one who's establishing this government. It's going to, and so he's the one who's going to perform this government. It's not left up to man to perform it. It's left up to God himself. He brought us into the kingdom as citizens of the kingdom. If you go back and think about what we gave you in Ephesians 2:19 and 20, where it says we are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God, and it's built up on the foundation, that's that government, upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. When we talk about culture, we talk about culture is that which distinguishes life from in one group from life in another group. When we think of the culture of honor and think of the government that God is setting up, there's two things that we should be coming to our mind when we think about culture. We should be thinking about authority and we should be thinking about power. Those are the two things that should be on your focus at all times. Thinking about God's, we are operating because of God's government is in place. We should be operating in the supernatural. The church has a culture, and the world has its culture. The world system is the elements of the world, and God's government is what we just finished reading to you. One of the things the Word of God tells us over in Romans chapter 12, go over there, look at that verse. Looking at verse 2. Romans chapter 12, looking at verse 2. The Word of God says, "And be not conformed to this world." It's talking about citizens of the kingdom. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Again, the many scriptures that we see and hear over and over. Because word of God in Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing," and I always add another hearing, "and by hearing the word of God." So if we hear it enough, then we can have faith for it. If we never hear it, then there's no way we can have faith for it. So we just keep going over and over and over again, these same scriptures. The church culture is founded up on the apostolic and the prophetic anointing, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Again, that's Ephesians 2, 19 and 20. You can look at those and read over them. We must be able to contain what God is pouring out and be able to release it into the world around us. We must maintain this culture that is appropriate for the mission, with an expression of each of the other fivefold ministry graces described in Ephesians 4 and 11. So when we begin to do this, we went to Ephesians chapter 4, and we begin to give you those fivefold ministry graces. And the first ones we say is built up on, again, the apostolic and the prophetic anointing. But we have to bring the other fivefold ministry gifts. It's all part of a unit. It's a team. When we begin to look at specifics in it, you're going to see each unit have to work together as a body. When the Apostle Paul began to teach us about these gifts, one of the things he said, he would not have us ignorant of spiritual gifts. And so in Ephesians 4 and 11, turn back over there, look at that again. Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 1. There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended, talking about Jesus, is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then verse 13 says, until we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So that's that foundation again. He's the chief foundation. He's the chief cornerstone, but he's also the head of the body. And whatever the body does, that he wants the members to do also. Because each of these diverse anointings addresses an essential part of the identity and purpose of the church through their specific areas of focus and motivation. Now, if we've been reading through our little booklet, the author went through and he gave a scene where there was an accident. And he came in and he gave each one of those, he broke them out in each one of those gifts. And when they come up to the accident scene, each one of them had a specific purpose that they were designed to do. Just like the natural body. And because each one of them has a specific function, they're going to do things different, even though they all see a part of the same body. What I want to do is I want to go over and look at 1 Corinthians and chapter 12 and see how God began to set this government up. If you're looking at verse 1, and remember, we always said this is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a world system government. It's a kingdom of God system, and it is a spiritual kingdom. We have to keep that separated. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 1, the Apostle Paul began to minister to the Corinthian church. He said, now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, he said, I would not have you ignorant. So if he wouldn't have them ignorant, he wanted them to have knowledge and to mature in the things of God. And what the Apostle Paul did here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he went through and he began to explain some things to the church. He began to explain the ninefold manifestation of the Holy Ghost, which was all one. It's all part of the, they call those gifts of the Holy Ghost. He got in when he got down through that part. Then he went in and he began to explain the natural body. And he talks about the eye. He talks about the ear. But each one of those is members of the body. And so every one of them function as a unit. He also gets over and he looks at 1 Corinthians. And we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, looking at verse 18. He said, but now hath God. He said, God has set the members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. And so when he began to tell us these things and we begin to see them, everything works as a unit. The body itself works as a unit. If on your body, even if your little toe hurt, you know, the rest of your body is going to feel it. You know, you're going to walk around with a limp. And so he's saying, just like, you know, the body of Christ, every member of the body of Christ is part of the body. And so when one part of the body is hurting, the whole body hurts. And so he was trying to, you know, explain to us, he tried to show us a human analogy of what the body of Christ looks like. And one of the things he said is that it was God who put every member of the body in its place like he wanted to see it. So sometimes we get, you know, upset because God has called one member of the body to be something and one member of the body to be something else. And so because they have and other members of the body see this individual progressing and moving because God has put them there, then we think we can take ourselves from where we're supposed to be and put ourselves in that position where God has not assigned us to. You know, my eye wouldn't just jump out of my head and want to jump on my side or on my legs and say I'm gonna be your leg and I'm gonna walk on that today. But that's what God is saying. I put it in place like I seen fit. And so he gets over here and he talks about it again. He says, now he's in verse 27. He said, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So just like the eye is a member of my body, we also are members of the body of Christ. He goes on to say, and God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. And he asked the question, he asked the apostles, he said, all apostles. And the answer there is no. Every member of the body of Christ is not apostles. Every member of the body is not a prophet. Every member is not a teacher. He said, are all workers of miracles? No. He said, have all the gifts of healings. He said, do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? He said, but covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. But he was talking about the body. I just wanted to read through that. But he was talking about the body of Christ, and every part of the body has to work in unison as one. And those fivefold ministry gifts are supposed to be working in unison. But somewhere along the line, we've taken the body itself and we've separated out. And we think, you know, when I say separated out, we take the pastor and we put him over here by himself. And he's not with the rest of the fivefold ministry gifts, but he's working along. So, if he needed to go somewhere, just say if he was an eye and he wanted to go somewhere, he don't have his legs, he don't have his feet. Where's he going? Now? He want to pick up something. His hands are not there. So and so that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to explain to us about these fivefold ministry gifts. They are supposed to be working in unison as one. And what he began to show us is, he said, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, ministration, various kinds of tongues. Here, Apostle Paul is clearly laying out an order of priority in this passage of scripture. What he's saying is that the apostle has to be in his place. As we get into further into the specifics of each one of these fivefold ministry gifts, again, we're going to see where God has set the apostles basically at the top of the funnel. And when he begins to pull out his power and his anointing, he pulls it out through the apostle down. It's just like when they pulled that oil on Aaron's garment and he pulled it on his head. It rolled down his head all the way down the garment, all the way down to his feet. And so we have to be able to see. God said, I pour out my power at the top. It rolls down. Then the apostle comes on. He find out what I want in heaven. He imparts it to the rest of the body. The prophets come along and speak to the people about what God wants here in the earth realm. The teacher comes along and explains it to them. The pastor come along and shepherd the people and make sure they are following along with what God has brought into the earth realm. And it what the evangelists do, as we get into each specific, we're going to find out the evangelists are still bringing people who don't know Christ Jesus yet and bring them into the kingdom so they can also be taught. So all five of them have to work in unison as one unit. And the reason we are not seeing the supernatural as God has put it in the earth realm is because God's government is not in place like it should be. And so, but since it's not working the way, we become our own gods, and then whatever happens in our life is what we created ourselves. And we are not have the ability, not without God, to create the supernatural abilities of God. He said, with God, all things are possible. So if you're not doing it the way God said it, you know, what I find out as you study and we go through scriptures, we just find out that God is very specific in what he do and when he says something, when he make a statement, when he asked him to build the temple the first time. And as I was reading through the Old Testament, I found out that he wanted, you know, even when he wanted curtains built, you know, to hang in the temples, he told them how he wanted their threads, how he wanted each one of them looped. He told them where he wanted each one of the little buttons put on, or if he wanted a dot there. I mean, he was very specific in what he does. So God is, and in Malachi, he tells us, he said, I'm God and I change not. So that means that if he was that way then, he's the same God now. So if you want his government to operate the way he set it up, then he is responsible. He said, I'm going to be responsible for making sure the government that I give. If it's not working like I said it should work, then the things that I say was going to happen from it, we're not going to see the results of it. In this order that the Apostle Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he says it's related to the realms of the supernatural that correspond to each particular office. The apostle is that it's not, again, it's not a natural realm. It is a supernatural realm. The Apostle Paul, again, he was talking to the Corinthian church. He got over in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. And so if we try to see it with our natural mind, we're not going to be able to see it because God tells us, he said, the natural man, turn over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We probably have seen this one, but we're going to see it again. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, he said, but the natural man, so that's why I say it is a spiritual realm. We are in this body, in the earth, in our earth suits, to walk around in this realm, in the natural, in our bodies. He said, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So again, we got to begin to see two different realms here. We got to see the natural realm, and we got to see the spiritual realm. And the things we are talking about here is we are spiritual beings in a spiritual kingdom. God is a spirit, and we who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so since he's a spirit and he put himself in us, then we become our spirit. Well, we became spiritual beings, and so we operate in the spiritual kingdom just like God operates in the spiritual kingdom. And so each one of the fivefold ministry gifts is related to the realm of the supernatural that corresponds to each particular office. The anointings on the apostle and the prophets creates a perspective that is primarily focused on perceiving what is going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. So the apostle and the prophet, think about, they are not so much concerned about the people. They are concerned about what heaven wants here on earth. That's why in the book of Acts, they also say we spend our time in prayer and in ministering of the word. They're seeking what heaven wants here on earth. As even our apostle, he spent all his time in prayer and seeking God, what it is that you want here on the earth. And then God comes along and he imparts to him what he wants at this particular time. And then he came coming into us. And if we do exactly what heaven wants here on the earth, then guess what? We're going to begin to see the supernatural function in the body of Christ the way the Bible, we see it in the Bible. We got a word yesterday as the Spirit of God was ministering to us. And one of the things we found out as we was listening to our apostle was that how did Jesus manage to do all those supernatural things that he did? And before many of the supernatural things he did, when he got ready to multiply that bread and water, he gave the word, thank you. He thanked God for, you know, even before he fasted, he said, thank you. When he got ready to bring Lazarus out of the grave, he had been dead for 4 days. And one of the first thing he said, he said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. And so he was giving thanks. And because, that was one of my concerns. I know Jesus walked around the earth as a man. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. But then there was something special about him. When you go to God and ask him for something, it always manifests itself. I said, I got the word in me. I want to be just like Jesus. I got him full of the Holy Ghost. So the same thing that Jesus did, I supposed to be doing. So I began to ask God. So when he said, go back and read. Every time he got ready to do some of these supernatural acts, what is the first thing that he did before the manifestation of those acts? And he began to thank his Father. He went up in the mountain. He began to pray and to seek God. He was thinking who he was, and then God would come along. And when he asked him for something, he had that close, intimate relationship with his Father. And because he did, he was always be able to manifest those things. So, and that's what the Spirit of God is ministering to us, and getting us into an area that we can be so close to him that we can be just like Jesus was when he was on earth. That's his whole purpose. That's why he's bringing the fivefold ministry gifts back into the church. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow up into the things of God so we can operate like Christ Jesus. Remember what it said down in Ephesians? He said, until we all into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ means that we're exactly what he did while he was here on the earth, we can do the exact same thing. So, and like I said, God don't mind us questioning him when something is not manifesting. You can go to him, and begin to talk to the Holy Spirit, find out what it is that, what am I, we know it's not God. Really, see, because God's, God said, my word ain't going to return to me void, but it's going to prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And so it's not God. So it must be, it's always got to be me. See, it's something what I'm supposed to do. So I would ask him, what is the thing that I need to be doing? And so we can come to, he can either reveal it to you through your spirit, but most time what's going to happen, he's going to come into the sanctuary and he's going to have a man of God who's going to have your word in his mouth. And so if we are hearing what he say, remember what I said. I said we are hearing. Many times what we're doing, we are listening, but we are not hearing. See, it's the difference between listening and hearing. We can listen, but we hear words coming out. But when we hear a word and hear that thing, then that which we hear is going to manifest in our life because we're going to take what we hear and we're going to use it to manifest what we need to do. So many times, like I say, man of God get up and he preach a word. And like even Jesus, when he was talking and teaching his disciples, one of the things he would always say, he said, for those who have ears, and he could look out and see they had ears. He said, let them hear what the Spirit has to say. Be listening for the words, but you want to hear. And again, when you hear what he say, then you're going to act on what he's saying to you. Again, he said the anointings on the apostle and the prophet creates a perspective that is primarily focused on perceiving what is going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. So the main thing is we're not trying to go to heaven. We're trying to bring heaven to earth. That's our goal, is to make sure that heaven, what's done in heaven, be done here on the earth. Our Father, Matthew 6, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come right here on earth. And in earth as it is in heaven. So the same thing that's happening in heaven, God wants that thing to happen here on the earth. And so that's our purpose. So that's what the apostle, that's that main focus. He's focusing on heaven, finding out what heaven is on here on the earth, and he's bringing the earth. Even again, the prophet is the same way. And what God does, he takes his words and he put it in the prophet's mouth, and the prophet come along and speak those words which God says. And God said, he told the prophet Jeremiah. Let's turn over there quick. Jeremiah 1. I always does this. It brings me to another level in the things of God. In Jeremiah was one of the major prophets. So, you know, they have major prophets and minor prophets, but the office of God. So here in Jeremiah chapter 4, prophet Jeremiah says, he said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, he said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of that womb, I sent and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. So before he was even exposed into this natural realm, God had called him to be a prophet. And so God said, when I sent you to earth to be a prophet, like Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. So God stood to the earth as Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. He knew exactly what he came to earth for. He came to do the will of the Father. So and that's what God's saying, every purpose. And so once we begin to see these things and begin to understand that, you know, it's all about God. It's all about man. It's all about his purposes. Again, the same prophet here, Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 29:11, God said, for I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of peace. That's that peace he talks about. And not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. So we get in God. God said, I got a plan for you. It's plans of peace and not of evil. And so he, you know, when we get in God's plan, we can always get to our destiny. It's always good. It's always peace. It's always where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. That's what God said, I want to take you to. And so, and again, now what he wants here on heaven and what heaven wants here on earth and bringing that to the earth. And he does that through basically prophets and the apostle. The apostle is always hearing from God and bringing that. But what we have to understand is that when God calls and he calls a prophet, if you are under an apostle, then the same anointing that's on that apostle and that prophet should be imparted to you. As members of the body, that same thing that's on his life should be imparted to your life. As again, one of our scriptures that we read earlier, and when Jesus was telling us and he was teaching us the principle here over in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. And he said, he that receiveth, that's what he was talking about. He that receiveth a prophet, or he that receiveth an apostle in the name of apostle's reward. I should receive and whatever's on that apostle's life. One of the things that I go through, turn to Acts chapter 6. And one of the great analogies, examples in the Bible. You know, I made the statement that same thing. You know, he said, you know, the anointing that's on their life. We all are anointed. Every person who is in the kingdom of God, God has anointed you. He has you have special gifts, special powers. The scripture, what is 1 John 2, where you say you have received an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. So he's already anointed. 1 John 2:27, where he says that same anointing should teach you and bring teach you all things and bring all things to your memory. Turn that, and then we're going to turn back to Acts chapter 6, and we're going to see this. 1 John. So if you ever say, well, you know, I want anointing that's on his life. I want that same anointing. But God has given you that anointing. It's what we do with it after we get it. And are we using it, or are we just sitting it on the shelf somewhere and allowing it to deteriorate? So we have, when he give us something, we have to take advantage of it. 1 John 2, here it is in it says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That means that that same power, that same spirit, that mind that was in Christ Jesus is also in you. So it's out of you, but it's up to your place to draw that gift out and allow it to function in your life. Verse 27 says, 1 John 2:27, it says, but the anointing which you have received of him abided in you. In you who? In you who became citizens of the kingdom of God. That way you say you're no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God. And where it's built up on that foundation, it's a, you know, that's who we are. That's who God has made us. And since he made us that way, he put certain gifts, certain anointings in us. But the anointing of him abided in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it had taught you, you shall abide in him. I gave you your scripture, gave us a scripture to meditate last week. And it said, when he come, the spirit of truth, when he guides you into all truth. And so that anointing in you, you know, we say, well, you know, people say, well, I won't go to school. I won't go to church anywhere because the Bible says I don't need nobody to teach me. That's not what he's saying here. He's talking about if we sit and we listen to the man of God when he comes in to us and give us things to do or things to say, what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit is going to come along and he's going to agree with what the man of God is saying in your spirit, because he's in you. And then he's going to let you know that the same spirit, that the same thing that he's saying to you is the exact same thing that I'm teaching you. And so heaven, what I want you to know. And so the man, if he's in the spirit and he's operating from the Holy Ghost and not coming in man's wisdom and teaching you from heaven, then that's not a man teaching you, but it's the Holy Ghost himself that's teaching you. And since he's teaching you, you don't need a man to teach you. And, you know, we get so spiritual sometimes until we are no earthly good. And so when we see those things, Romans 8, chapter 8, and again, when I said the Spirit himself is going to teach you, and so if you're going along somewhere and you're not exactly sure, you know, am I on the right path? Well, you can go to the Holy Ghost and hear you. What he going to do? He going to bear witness in Romans 8:16. This verse says the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's a principle that God has put in the Bible. It's not just bear witness that we are children of God, but it bears witness with our spirit we are on the right course. Everyone has, you know, sometimes you sit here and you say, well, should I be sitting up in this class, you know, and going through this, this two-year course at Ever-Increasing Word Training Center? But then what will happen is the Spirit of God will come along and he'll bear witness with your spirit. He's going to share with you. He's going to let you know that exactly what I want you to do. He's bearing witness with your spirit. So you're going to get peace, total peace in that area. And then all you have to do now is flow in that thing and allow God. If obstacles come in the way, it's going to become easy for you. If you got scheduling conflicts, eliminate them, eradicate them. And so in the spiritual kingdom, as citizens of this kingdom, God say, once you mature, once you know who you are, we become the most powerful beings on the face of the prophet Isaiah over there. It gets to the point where it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be condemned. He said, this is our heritage. This is who we are. This is, we are in the kingdom. We are citizens of a supernatural kingdom. And once we mature in this supernatural kingdom, scriptures, and they become part of you, and you know that's exactly who you are. And I heard my apostle say, he said, you know, whole companies, you know, because of who you are, will change because of who. If somebody come against you, guess what? God gonna remove that obstacle out of your way. You don't want you trying to take care of that situation for you. As Jesus in his teaching, one of the things he said, you have to love your enemies and you pray for those who despitefully use you. So if they despitefully using you, they know what they're doing when they despitefully using you, they know exactly what they're doing. So Jesus said, you don't know that they did to you. He said, you love them. And then not only do you love them, he said, you pray for them. And God said, then I take care. He going to take care of that situation. And so we just grew, you know, we just keep flowing. And, you know, in the natural, it don't feel good sometimes, but it, you know, has nothing to do with it. We are different. You know, you don't think Jesus nails in his hands. You don't think it felt good to him, but he had something he had to do. And so that's the way that he's saying. He said, we do the exact same thing. And so, like I say, as we mature in this kingdom, God going to begin to reveal things to us. We got this anointing in us. And he's going to teach us. Let me give you some more notes. On being able, I was going to Acts 6, but I won't have enough time to explain this whole thing. So in the next lesson, we'll get into it and see that apostolic anointing that was on those table waiters. We're going to see the ones who God called to be table. We're going to see that how that anointing that is imparted from the apostle. Once you connect, the important part is connecting properly to where God have assigned you. And so the teacher is focused on being able to describe everything that happened accurately, and the evangelist and the pastor are basically focused on the people. And so if we're focusing on the people, and many of our Western world, in America, we have the teacher at the top of the rim who's running the churches, and they're focused on the people, then if they're more focused on the people, then they're not finding out what heaven wants here on the earth. They just want to find out what the people want here on earth. And when people, you know, when you always going to want to be the center of the universe, they're going to want to be the center. They're going to want you to focus in on them. They're going to always want you to, you know, take care of their little needs and their little itches. And so then for you know, what heaven wants, they're not going to be able to bring that. So that's why we're not seeing the supernatural function in the body of Christ. We're not focusing on heaven. We're more focused on the people. Each of these areas of focus is vitally important. You know, like I said, again, the apostle is important. The prophet is important. The pastor is important. The teacher is important. The evangelist is but in order for them to function together as God intended, they must relate to one another according to his order of priority. Remember the priority. God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, and then once the order is set correctly, then we've been miracles operating in the body of Christ. That, you know, signs and wonders are operating, miracles are operating once we get the order correctly. The area of heavenly focus come first and influence the area of earthly focus. So, again, remember what I said, what heaven wants, that comes first. Apostles, prophets are seeking heaven, and that comes first. And then once that comes, then it influences the other areas of focus. It influences the pastor. It influences the teacher. It influences all the apostles. Apostles first, and prophets second, and teachers third. He is describing a flow. Again, I made the analogy of the oil that was poured on Aaron's head, and it was poured on his head, and it began to flow down from his shoulder down to the end of that garment he had on. So God said, my power flows from the top, it flows into the funnel, and it flows down to everybody who's connected to that. If I'm not connected, when the power begin to flow, then I'm sitting off over here. If I was plugged, it has no power in it, so it's gonna It's not going to come on when you hit the on button. But as long as it's connected and you hit the on button, then the power going to flow through it and we're going to be able to get out of that TV what we want out of it. And same thing in the body of Christ. As long as we connect it properly, then whatever God is pouring out, we can receive that power through how God set up. The flow screams through the teacher. Again, it's released in miracles and healings and continues through helps and administration and tongues. But sorry to say, rather than having the apostles and prophets at the foundation of the culture of a church, the Western or the American church has largely placed us at the hem. Until we came into the revelation of the apostles, which was about four years ago, when our apostle was called, God called him to be an apostle. Only the place we've ever heard of apostle was in the scriptures. We knew there was a covenant of apostles. There are other ministers operating in it now, and they begin to see those supernatural, but God said, I'm restoring. It's, if he's restoring, that means it was there once before. So only thing he's doing, what was in place once before, he's putting it back into place now. It was in the book of Acts, over in Acts chapter 2. Let's turn over there right quick before my time run out. Understand that y'all have an exam next week somewhere, but all my exams are extremely easy. I already got the answers. You go on there online, you do the quizzes, and the same quizzes is normally on my exam. So if you haven't did the quizzes, if you're not looking at the quizzes, guess what? You're not going to pass the exam. So, so in here in Acts chapter 2, looking at verse 42, and like I say, this is after they came out and Apostle Peter in the room, and the Spirit of God came in like a mighty rushing wind. The Apostle Peter came out and preached that awesome message. And here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. And fear came. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Because it was continuing in that doctrine, that apostles' doctrine, that God laid down for them. And so, and because it was, then they began to see many signs and many wonders operating in the body. Turn over to Acts chapter 5. And looking at verse 11, it says, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Not just listening, but they actually heard them. It says, and by the hands of the apostle were many among the people. And so, again, when we are operating the way God set it up, we shall see many signs and many wonders operating in the body of Christ. Now, God said that, there's no reason why we should not be seeing signs and wonders. I mean, some of us been in church a long time, and we go back and we look and we see all these signs, these supernatural functions happening in the church. You know, things like how do you go in a fire and not get burned? I'm just curious myself. So something had to be in place. And so it was operating going to many supernatural functions that was happening in the Bible. And this is our manual. God sent it down to us, and he said, look, y'all follow this manual, and you'll be just like these people in the Bible. And so, again, I always go back and ask my God, because you're perfect in all your ways. And since you're perfect in all your ways, it must be something that I'm not doing. So I need to know. And I begin to ask the Spirit of God, show me, tell me, teach me. And I get to the point, I say in his face, I want to know. And then eventually he began to, reveal a little, he's never going to show you everything. He's going to reveal enough to you so you can take your next step. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so, every step is a step of faith, of walking in where God told you to go. Again, the American defrauding the church of its supernatural ability. First of all, by letting the teacher state clearly and accurately the truth of the Bible in a theologically sound message in an effort to be a security in the lives of the believer. So they're concerned about the believer. Or by letting the pastor create and systems in place to nourish strong character and relationships. Are the evangelists emphasizing church growth and to train church members to share their faith and to lead others to Christ? There's nothing wrong with this. All these are good. But if you look at them, they are earthly wants. We want what the kingdom of heaven wants here on the earth. And so since they are earthly focused models of leadership, guess what? You're going to get earthly results. Earthly results are not supernatural results. They're just things that we can do to, you know, advance our kingdom. We want things that we cannot do ourselves to operate in our lives. All things are possible to him that believe it. I am a believer, and so there should be nothing that is impossible with me because of who that I am as a citizen of the kingdom. Without any prophets who are not only focused on seeing what is going on in heaven, but also on releasing that reality here on earth. So every time the apostle go up and he hear God and he brings something, he hears what God wants here on the earth, then he comes back and he releases it to us. If we think about it, then guess what? That's natural. God's going to go on about it and he's going to just keep on going where you're going. But we're going to miss out on the supernatural because we are not hearing what God is saying. We're listening to what the pastor is saying. We're listening to what the apostle is saying. But we are not hearing what he's saying. Giving God thanks. So if you want something supernatural to happen in your life, you begin to thank God for what you already got. You know, what he's already done for you. How, you stood on your feet this morning. When you woke up, you had breath in your mouth. You wasn't laying there and couldn't get up out of the bed. Things like that. That's, and so as you're thanking for that, you do. But every time I got breath in my body, I thank God for that breath when I get up in the morning. Because why? That was important. It was important for God to give it to me. So it was important for me to thank him for he gave it to me. And so, that was a great revelation to me yesterday. It was helping out because I've been asking him. Thank you. You can get into the supernatural real quick. I want to operate in the supernatural. I don't want to be just one here, in my natural all my life. I've seen inklings of it. But I want the fullness of the stature like Christ Jesus had it when he was on earth. I want to walk up on somebody who's healed and get up and walk that God wants us to do. And so since he wants us to do it, I want to know what it is that we need to do. So we're progressing. We're learning. In Mark 4:26, that word communion, he says like a man who sleeps night and day and the seed spring up and grow. He know not how. He said, but first it blessed be. That one or not, but that's a good one. Mark 4:26. And so go back and look at that one. Father, we thank you, we praise you and give you glory. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the words that you've given to us to impart to your people. And we thank you, Father, we give praise and glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. So again, the exam will come from the four quizzes. As they're online, you go on, you print the quizzes out, you see the answers on there, and you come back and you put them on the paper and you get yourself 100.